So, all right. Well, then we'll just go on with it. All right, Mark chapter 4 tonight. If you have your Bibles, please go with me over to the Mark chapter 4. Going to talk a little bit about something that the Lord laid on my heart late last week. And very familiar story. And everybody here, if you read your Bible much or if you've spent a lot of time around preaching, you've heard this passage preached on. You've read it numerous times. But it's some things there that I think we ought to take notice of that I think will help us, especially in our future, our upcoming year, regardless. I mean, we sit here and anticipate hoping for a good year and don't know that we won't have a worse year, but one way or the other, there's no way you cannot benefit from things out of the Word of God. Whether it's going to be a good year, whether it's going to be a bad year, it don't make a difference. I mean, that's in God's hands. That ain't got nothing to do with me and you. That's all in the Lord's hands. I mean, we did what we can do to just be obedient to His will and do what's right by His book, and the results and the follow-up are all in His hands. So, but this is something this is the thought I want to try to get across to you tonight. Don't miss anything because you're focused on everything. Don't miss anything because you're focused on everything. Mark chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 35. If you will, please stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. Starting in verse 35, the Bible says this, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, into the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we ask now that your hand would be upon us as we attempt to preach this message that you've laid upon our heart. Lord, let your name be exalted above all else. Get glory to yourself. And Father, we'll thank you for the opportunity just to have a part in this great work that you're doing. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to draw your attention to a few things. I want to start in verse 35, and we're going to hit just a few things as we go down through the passage. But he says in verse 35, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them. Now you got to notice the message is coming from the Lord. It's not a suggestion coming out of the crowd. This is the Lord himself talking to the 12, and he says, let us go over or unto the other side. He said, let us pass over. We're going to go over to the other side. I think sometimes that we tend to lose sight of the fact that what God said is going to come to pass whether man approves of what he says or not. And we have a hard time letting go of the fact that when God's Word says something contrary to what the will of man is, we have the tendency to want to say, yeah, but Lord... But Lord, don't you realize, and see, the thing about it is, beloved, is if it can happen within the inner circle of the Lord's 12 here, don't you know that it's very easily going to be able to happen within the body of believers of today? The 21st century church of today has a faith that can be shaken plumb to its core. And I'm not saying that because I'm putting Christians down. I'm just telling you the progression of time ends this church age in a state of apostasy because that's the way every dispensation ends. Every single dispensation in that Bible ends with whatever group God's focusing on in a state of backsliddenness, cold-heartedness, and turning away from God and from His Word. Every time. And this age ain't going to be no different. This age is not going to end with the rapture of the church coming and the hallelujah glory revival are coming down and firing up all over this country and souls getting saved. That's not, if this book fulfills itself, then that's not how this is going to end. This ends with little handfuls of believers here and there and yonder just doing their best to stay faithful while the devil's crowd does everything that it can to snuff out what little bit of light there is left in this country and in this world. And that's the way this thing goes. But he says, let us pass over. You know what I love about the word of the Lord? It endures. You know, the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. As long as there is a world in existence, the Bible is going to be evident in it. Because there's nothing. Listen, before the world was, the Word was. He said, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So before the world was even created, the Word was in effect and in existence. And it'll be long after you and I pass off the scene should the Lord not come back. And I believe it to be so that whenever we stand judgment before the Lord, I believe one of the things going to be present that we're going to be based against is going to be the words of this book right here. Because the Lord Jesus Christ will be passing judgment, and He is the standard by which we're to live. All right, so He says His word will endure. He says, let us pass over. Listen, His word will endure. And all through this, all through history, just give you a little bit of history. All through history, people that have become critical of the word of God, they've done so by trying to change it. They've done so by trying to destroy it. And the, I mean, back in history, you study back in the dark age history, year 1000 AD to about 1500 AD, you've got a period of time there where you've got the Roman Catholic Church that's in authority over there in Europe. And whenever the Christians begin to rise up because people were just getting saved by the thousands, then you've got these Roman Catholics who were losing control. And they were losing control because people were beginning to get their hands on the Word of God. And they were beginning to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They loved the fact that they could call on a Savior and trust Him and faith, and He would save their soul. And it required no input from a Catholic priest or a Pope or anyone else. And people were flocking to this, and they were absolutely just getting enveloped in this. And the church found out, the Catholic Church decided the only way they were going to be able to control the people was they were going to have to control their Bible. So they began, in some instances, they started burning Bibles. In other instances, they chained the Bible to the pulpit so nobody could take it and leave with it and read it. Because in a lot of provinces, in a lot of villages, there would only be one Bible anywhere in the whole place. And people would just flock to that thing each and every day to read the passage of Scripture that had been opened up to. And then they'd take the chain off. At the end of the day, they turn the page and they put the chain back on. And the next day, the line would be standing out in the road for people waiting to come in and read that passage of Scripture for the day. Boy, isn't it easy to see how spoiled that we've gotten when each and every one of us could have anywhere from 6 to 8 to 10 copies of that precious book on every shelf in our home, in every room of our homes, and yet we have absolutely got little to no respect as compared to what these people had years ago. And the confidence of Christians that is so easily shaken when you've got that completed copy of that Bible in your home. And yet we can miss so much because of that. I mean, listen, they said, you know what? We're going to burn that thing. We're going to get it out of their possession. We're going to burn it. But you know what? The Lord in His foresight knew that they were going to do that. So what He did was He got Jeremiah over there, and Jeremiah was ready to quit the ministry. He said, I'm done. I'm not going to preach anymore. I've had it. I've got all this trouble that's come my way. No converts and absolutely no fruit to show for the time and the years I've spent prophesying to Israel. I'm done. And the Lord said, okay, that's fine. I accept your letter of resignation. No problem at all. And Jeremiah began to walk down the streets of the city. He began to see all the filthiness and the wickedness. And he began to open his mouth, and the Lord said, hey, you said you wasn't going to preach and say anything in my name ever again. But you know what Jeremiah said? He said, His word was in my bones as a fire shut up, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. So the Lord in His foresight knew they were going to try to burn that book. So He said, I'll just make my book like a consuming fire in the bones of anybody that's willing to believe it. They said, well, we'll just take a bunch of these old Bibles and we'll just throw them over into the sea and let them sink to the bottom of the ocean. And the Lord said, that's all right. Ephesians 5:26 says, they sanctify and cleanse them with the washing of the water by the word. You ain't going to drown that book. He said, I'll make it water too. They said, well, that's fine. We'll cut it to shreds. He said, that's okay. Hebrews 4:12 said, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder a heart and soul and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. They said, man, I tell you what, we're going to have to do something else about this. What else can we do? Let's just chain it to the pulpit. If we can't keep it from them, we'll just limit how much of it they get. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, the Word of God is not bound. He said, I'm bound. He said, I'm a prisoner. I'm in these bonds. He said, but the Word of God is not bound. You see this thing about, and see, all this is just coming from one thing. Just one thing, one little event. What was the event? Was it the calming of the sea? No, we ain't even got there yet. This event has to do with the Lord stepping up to His disciples and saying, let's go to the other side. Well, Lord, that sounds great. We're going to get to sail with Jesus. All just for that. If they'd have looked on the horizon, they could have seen what was coming. But you know what? You don't always see what's coming. You don't always see the storm. Sometimes the Lord will give you a weather eye and give you the ability to see a storm coming, but not always. Sometimes it just hits you just out of nowhere. Sometimes it blindsides you. I'm telling you, the other night, man, Christmas Eve, we were up at my grandmother's house. It was cloudy. We knew weather was coming. But man, I tell you, we got up there and we were eating. Somebody said, hey man, it's snowing out here. And we just poke our heads outside and look, yeah, here's the flurries. They're just, Me and her are supposed to leave the next morning, early the next morning, to go to Tennessee, or go to Florida. It would have been easier to go to Tennessee. Shorter drive. Kidding. But we got there. We was like, we're supposed to leave 3 o'clock next morning, go to Florida. I said, we're good. It's just, man, in just a matter of 20 minutes, they said, did y'all say y'all were going to Florida? Yeah, they said, y'all may not be going anywhere. Man, I opened the door, the ground's already white, and the flakes are that big, and it's just wet, sloppy, old cold snow, and it's just mounding one on top of the other. We rushed home, we threw everything in the truck. I drove in four-wheel drive from Norton all the way down here below the South Carolina line before it turned back to rain. And in a lot of cases, there were places where we were driving, I couldn't hardly see 5 feet in front of my truck. Wide out. Man, sometimes it just happens. Sometimes storms just, they don't give you a warning. They don't give you the blessing of a time of preparation. You don't have time to batten down the hatches. You don't have time to strake sail. You don't have time to tie everything down to secure the cargo and then to make sure you've got a place to run in a need of refuge. Sometimes you don't have that warning. Say, do I need it? Well, it depends. Do you remember who was in the boat with them? Say, these were experienced sailors. Here they are fixing to go out on a boat with Jesus, and they're thinking, man, we've been on boat our whole life. Four of these guys have been commercial fishermen since their childhood. Man, Zebedee's boys here, we are, been fishing since we was kids. And here's Peter and Andrew, and they've been fishing since they was kids. They knew how to sail. Ain't no telling how many trips they'd made across Galilee. How many pounds of fish they'd drug in out of that place. No telling how many storms maybe they got caught up in. But man, there was just something different about this time. Why? Because, man, Jesus is in the boat with us. But see, he said, let us go over to the other side. Let us pass over to the other side. See, the Lord intended to get over there because you read in chapter 5, the very next chapter, and you see that the Lord had an intent and a purpose behind them passing over. Because there was a crazy, devil-possessed man of Gadara that was on an island out there waiting in the tombs. And he'd been out there for years. And the Lord said, there's somebody over that needs me. And I need to get over there. So sometimes whenever, I remember the thought we're trying to get across here tonight is don't miss anything because you're focused on everything. See, we miss sometimes the point that the Lord said, let's go. Not you go, let's go. I'm going to go with you. All right, so here they get on the boat and they're going. But then you come down, 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Full of what? The only thing I can assume is water. It's full of water. So here the waves are coming up over the bow of the boat, up over the sides. And you know, you're used to sitting up on that deck and you're high above the sea level there and you're able to see off. And then you begin to realize as a storm begins to rage and the waves begin to beat, the next thing you begin to realize is my line of sight is getting lower and lower because my vessel is sinking deeper and deeper into this surge. All right, so we look at what he says, though. He says, it was now full. Although everything seems to be going wrong, you can still be blessed because he's still in the boat. But now listen, that's not just the only thing that he's in the boat, but you take your example by his behavior. What's his behavior? Well, it might be considered crazy to some people because a storm's going on, the boat's full of water, we're fixing to go down, and he's in the back and he's asleep. And he's asleep. Not only is he asleep, he ain't just catnapping. Says he's on a pillow. Well, he's found somewhere comfortable. You know what that tells me? That tells me sometimes the most comfortable places for the Lord to settle in and rest in our hearts is when we're in the midst of a storm. Sometimes the best places to let the Lord just settle in and rest in your soul is in the midst of a storm. You know what happens when you get to realizing those truths? They begin to settle in. Now listen, this is where you have to try to focus your mind now and focus your heart, because you're missing a lot by paying attention to everything. And you're going to miss some stuff because we're focusing on everything. But we get our mind focused on the fact that, yes, there's a storm going on. I mean, I remember as a kid, and she even does it. I did it to my dad. She does it to me. But we'll be riding or driving down the road or be at the house, and it'll start thundering. It'll start popping lightning, and the house will just start shaking or something like that. And all she wants to do is, if I'm laying in the bed or sitting in the chair, she wants to burrow up under my arm right there. And she just won't, and she'll pull my arm down, and she'll say, "Hide, hide, hide, hide." See, she's looking at me. And that's what she'd do. Hide, hide. And I'd reach my arm around her. And then whenever I would, she'd get me by the arm and she'd look up at me and she's got that worried look on her face and she'll look at me and say, "It's okay. It's okay." We got neighbors across the way that like to shoot guns, and they'll out there with some big rifle. Boom! And she'll reach and get me and she'll say, "It's okay. It's okay." Man, can't you just remember some of those times when that storms are raging and those thunderclaps are hitting right next to your ear and it feels like it's about to knock you right off of your feet, and you just slip down into the bottom of the boat where you can't see the storm. You can still feel it going on, but you slip down the bottom of that boat and you just slide up underneath his arm where he's resting. He's comfortable. And you just look at him and say, "It's okay." And he'll just hold you right up next to him and say, "It's okay." They may think they've got it under control up there, but I control the sea. They're trying to control the boat, but I control the wind and the waves. Man, ain't that good? Don't miss anything because we're focused on everything. Acts 27, the Apostle Paul's on a voyage over there going to the island of Melita. He's a prisoner. He's in bondage. And he ends up in a storm, and they end up in the storm it must be some kind of a storm because it's the only one in the Bible that they give a name. And they call it Euroclydon. That sounds like some ancient Greek monster that ought to be out there in the deep somewhere. Sounds like Behemoth or Leviathan in Job. But this is Euroclydon. It's a great storm that's come up. And the Apostle Paul's sitting here in the storms, tossing the ship to and fro. Sailors are giving up hope. Everybody's panicked and everybody's worn out. It's been 2 weeks since anybody's even eaten a piece of bread or a piece of meat. And the Apostle Paul, enduring the same storm, watching these men throw everything they had overboard, finally told them at the end of the thing, when their strength had all but give out, he said, "Be of good cheer." He said, "There shall be no loss of any man's life, but of the ship." He said, "The boat's going to be busted all to pieces, but nobody's going to get hurt. Everybody's going to be all right. Everybody's going to be alive." Paul, how do you know that? Because while you guys were all frantic and you guys were all scattering, trying to throw things overboard so that the ship would sit up higher in the water, you guys were trying to get it so that the prisoners didn't escape. You were more worried about keeping something captive. You were more worried about those things that you just can't seem to let go and set free. You're too interested in hanging on to those things and throwing the necessary stuff overboard to lighten the load and watching that ship bust all to pieces while it's under your control to realize y'all were worried about that. But there has stood beside me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, while you guys are out here frantic and panicking and worrying because the ship's going down, I'm here to tell you that the Lord has stood by me this night and said, don't worry about the loss of the ship. I'm going to save everybody's life. And beloved, I can tell you tonight, I don't know where the storms may come. I don't know where they may fall in on us at. I don't know if we might get to see them coming or if we won't, or we'll be blindsided. But I can tell you this, the ship's going down. This ship's going to go down. But I'm thankful that I know the one who's sailing, who's at the helm. And he can navigate this thing wherever he wants to navigate it. But I'm going to tell you, this thing ain't going to go down before I go up. Amen? This thing ain't going to go down before I go up. All right, so here they are. It was full. Now down in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And here it is, they awake him and say unto him, "Master," man, what a profound question to ask him. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Don't you care? I mean, here you've called us. We're the 12 that you called out of this whole multitude that you could have chosen from, and we were the ones you called. What did you do? Call us to come out here and just die? Don't you even care that we perish? Man, what a profound thing to say to the man who just told you, "Let us go to the other side. Let us pass over to the other side. Lord, don't you care that we perish?" You know, the Lord's speaking to that 21st century Christian. He says, "Hey, look," he said, "I've given you this garden to oversee. I want you to bear some fruit in it." "Yeah, but Lord, you didn't till it." That's the attitude. Here's your garden. It's a portion of mine that's going to be your inheritance, and I'm giving it to you so that you can bear fruit in it for my glory. No, I don't have to give it to you. I don't have to give it to you at all. I don't need you to take care of it. I can take care of it myself if I needed to, but I want to give you a chance to be a part of what I'm doing. I want to give you a chance to be a part of something that's bigger than anything you could ever be a part of on your own. So here's your piece of ground. I'll see you when I get back. We'll see what you've got to show. "Yeah, but Lord, you didn't till it. Look how hard that ground is." He said, "That ground only reflects the condition of your heart. And if that ground's hard, it's because your heart's hard. If that ain't bearing no fruit, it's because your heart don't want no fruit bore in your life. If they ain't a hoe with some sweat running down the handle, it's because you ain't got a mind to work." You see what I'm saying? We'll miss out on it. We'll miss out on a lot of things because we're focused on everything else. I'm going to tell you something. You pay too much attention to the newsreel. You pay too much attention to social media. And you will consume the majority of your life just simply trying to keep up with the garbage that they're spewing out to try to keep you interested. Why do you think they switch stories so quick? If they showed you the same story, then there wouldn't be no need for you to come back. So what do? They got to give you a different story, and it's got to be worse than the one they gave you last week. Why? Because that's the only way I can keep you sitting in that seat watching that feed. It's the only way I can keep you. Hey, listen, I got a laugh out of this the other day, but we was up there at my daddy's house. We was sitting down there and we was talking. And all of a sudden, daddy just kind of gets quiet. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing over there? You know, he's got his phone. I said, what are you doing over there? He picks his head up and looks at, huh? Mom said, he's looking at the obituaries. And I said, what are you doing that for? And Mama says, before he even got the answer, she said, he does that every week. And I said, what do you do that for? He said, son, I'm getting old enough. I'm trying to see how many friends I got left. He said, I'm beginning to get to the age where there's more of them over there than there is here. And he said, I'm trying to see how many of them I got left. And I mean, that was just a joke, But I thought about that. And I thought, man, I wonder how much time there is wasted looking to see who is and who ain't, as opposed to worrying about what I'm doing and what I'm supposed to be doing and how much I'm missing. Missing a lot. Missing out. Don't you care that we perish? Does it not even bother you that we're going through the things that we are? You know what his response is? Well, at first I can see him not being too quick to get up from his resting position. He's comfortable. He's comfortable in the storm because he knows that he's got everybody's care in his hand. And if nothing's going to happen to him, nothing is going to happen to them. So that's what he's got on his mind. But they're still, don't you care? Doesn't it bother you that we're getting hurt up here? Doesn't it bother you that this ship's going down? I mean, Lord, this ship's been in my family for generations. Don't you know that my daddy's going to absolutely roll over in his grave if this ship goes down? Don't you care? Does it not bother you, Lord? I could get real. I could get close to the cotton here if I needed to. Lord, don't you care that Joe Biden's going to wind up the next president of the United States? That crazy Catholic liberal who ain't got the sense to pull his head out of a bucket twice when he stuck it in there three times? See what I mean? Say, oh, you're talking bad about he ain't the president yet. You ain't supposed to speak ill of the ruler of your people. He ain't the president yet, so... I ain't got nothing against Joe Biden. I ain't got nothing against Donald Trump. I ain't got nothing against none of them. Because you know what they are? They're men and they're people just like you and I are, and they have souls. And they're going to go to one place or another. See, the Lord wasn't worried about that sort of stuff. I've told you, the Lord, when He came into this world, He changed it, man. But He did it without overthrowing anybody. He did it without dethroning anybody. He came in and He did what the Lord told Him to do. And then the people that were supposed to be the closest ones to Him were the ones who looked at Him at a time of fear and doubt and said, don't you even care? Does it not even bother you that this storm we're going through is going to consume us? Bit of a different caliber of person than the ones that you seen back in Daniel when there was three Hebrew boys who had the chance to bow and could have saved their hide, but they didn't, and they chose to go into the fire. And the one that went into the fire with them saved them and kept them from perishing, but they had already resolved in themselves that even if they did perish, they still weren't bowing. Whole different animal whenever the storm's going on and the answer's right there in the boat with you, just like the answer was in the furnace with them. And here's a different animal now creeping up, growling, and it's about to get on top of your back, and you're saying, Lord, don't you even care? Doesn't it bother you? But then it says this, the Lord stands up in verse 39, and it says that He rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. One of the things you realize is this, first off, generally, He calms the storm before He calms you. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes he'll put a calm on the storm before he puts a calm on you. But look in 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I mean, these guys had walked with him longer than anyone else. They lived with him closer than anybody else. And yet they were the ones who were having the hardest time believing that he could do what he said he would do. Hey, there was a woman with an issue of blood that didn't know naught but his reputation. And she said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I'd be whole. There was a tax collector who said, I don't even know who this guy is, but I've heard about him. I just want to see him. So he climbs up in a sycamore tree just to get a glimpse. Here's a guy sitting by the roadside and he's just a-begging for any crumb that somebody can give him as he's blind as a bat. And whenever the Lord begins to pass by, they said, hey man, Jesus is coming by. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Some of these people that didn't know the Lord but by nothing but his reputation had more faith to get what they needed and him do for them what they needed than the ones that walked with him and lived with him for all the time he walked on this earth. Sometimes I think the hardest ones to convince that the Lord still has control of this thing is the Christians. It ain't hard to convince a lost person that's having their sails ripped apart and their hull beaten to death. It ain't hard to convince them that there's still a God in heaven that can take care of them. But it sure is hard to get a bunch of Christians that have been saved for any period of time to believe that what he said would still come to pass even though it ain't happened yet. And you know what? For all we know, hey, if a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, who are we to sit here and say that the rapture... Listen, back during the World War II era, them preachers was preaching as hard as they could that this was the end of it. We were right here. The Lord was fixing to come back. And guess what? It's been 60 plus and He still ain't showed up yet. And now here we are. And we're saying the same thing. What if it's another 60 plus? Amen? What if it's, I mean, you think about this. What if it's another 250 years? If you look at a Jewish calendar, and the Jewish calendar goes by what they started dating back in the time of Adam, right now you've got the years somewhere around 50-something, 5,500 and something. That's what their year is. We're at 2021. They're at like 5,500 and something. But if you take each day of creation and each day of Daniel's 70th week as 1,000 years, and then you allot 1,000 years for the millennial reign at the end of that, at the end of this thing, you realize we could still be anywhere from 250 to 300 years away, if that's even the time. I ain't saying it is. I ain't claiming it is because I don't have a clue when it is. I'm just telling you by a Jewish calendar how long things have been rolling. You realize it? I mean, it could be another 250, 300 years. I mean, her great-great-grandchildren would be parents. I would be a memory so far and so far gone that the Holdens then wouldn't even know who I was. Don't you care that we perish? Yeah, but it's not a question about do you care or not. The question is, do you not have the faith that it takes to believe what he said? They'd walked with him for all that time, and then look in 41, and I'm going to close it down with this. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want you to notice this. For some people, even seeing ain't believing. Okay? Now over in John chapter 14, and I'll read this to you very quickly, but over in John chapter 14, the Lord is addressing the 12, and He starts addressing Philip. And in John 14 and 9, the Lord said, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I oftentimes think it's so that some people have problems even seeing and believing. Because here these guys just saw him step out and calm the sea And the question still arose, what kind of man is this? I also want to point this out to you, and this is probably, if you've benefited from anything I've said tonight, I want you to benefit from this. I want you to notice how they completely overlook the question that he gave them. How is it you have no faith? He calmed the storm. Wind and the sea was over. It wasn't rolling anymore. And now here they are. And he says, why were you so afraid? How is it you have no faith? Notice they don't even address the question. They're still focused on what just happened. What kind of man is it that could even command that the wind and the sea obey him? You know what that tells you? They were still too focused on the physical stuff to acknowledge the question about the spiritual stuff. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a spiritual thing. Versus the storm was a physical thing. Now sometimes the storm can be spiritual. But oftentimes we associate storms with something physical. An ailment, a death, a trial, work, family. Storms come in all shapes and sizes, but likelier than not, 90% of the time, we associate storms with something physical. And the Lord asks them a question that's dealing with their spiritual part instead of their physical part. How is it that you have no faith? And instead of acknowledging the fact that they're like, you know what, maybe our problem ain't physical. Maybe our problem wasn't the storm. Maybe our problem wasn't the ship that was going down. Maybe the problem was the fact that we just forgot who was in the boat. And He told us before we even set foot on deck, let us pass over to the other side. Because He had something to do over there. You know what you're going to find? I believe this is right. Somebody will have to check me and I'll have to see if I was right. But when they get over to that other side over there, I want you to notice that whenever they got over there, when the people seen that boat come up on that shoreline, they started marveling at the fact that that boat was one of the only ones that was out there during that storm and made it. It wasn't the only one on the water. Because it said that with that ship was a bunch of little ones. But there was only one that reached the shoreline of the Gadarenes. But they seemed to be the ones that had the hardest time accepting the fact that their problem was a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. Their problem wasn't the storm. Their problem wasn't the boat sinking. The problem was they forgot who was on deck. And He was not only on deck, but He was comfortable there. He wasn't worried about it. And I can tell you something, folks, no matter the storms that the Lord's brought us through in 2020, and no matter the storms He's going to help you navigate in 21, He's going to be there to help you through it. And I promise you one thing, they don't worry Him a bit. They don't worry Him a bit. He's not up there wringing His hands. Well, how are they going to handle this one? Well, how are they going to handle that one? He's not worried about it. He's comfortable in the storm. Why? Because He created it. He created the storm. I think our focus, though, is what we get in trouble with is we miss things because we're too focused on everything. The Lord's addressing a spiritual question tonight, and we seem to want to focus on the physical. Why don't you have any faith? Well, Lord, maybe because my fellowship with you is not what it ought to be. Lord, I don't spend the time in my Bible like I should. I certainly don't spend the time in prayer like I ought to. Lord, I don't do the best I can to live peaceably with all men as much as what lies within me. Lord, I'm too set in my ways to realize that I could be wrong. The Lord says, okay, well then we need to talk a little bit about a spiritual problem. Versus you sitting here saying, but Lord, don't you care that? I mean, don't you know what I'm having to deal with? Don't you see what I'm being put through? The Lord's sitting here going, that's not the question that needs to be answered. Because the Bible makes it clear and very, very plain that I can cast my care upon Him because He cares for me. So the question is not a matter of does He care? The question is, do I not have my faith in the right place so that whenever He does step up and calm the sea, there's not to be a bunch of marveling at, wow, the wind and the sea obey Him, but just, Lord, thank You that You calmed another one. Thank You that You brought me through another one. And Lord, I know that this one is going to end just so another one can begin. And I thank You that You're going to get me through that one. Because that's the way it works. Our problem is we're missing out on a lot of things because we're too focused on everything else. And the Lord's only in one boat, but we're worried about all the other boats. You can't worry about the other boats because that's not the one you're in. Amen. You can't worry about the boat of government. You can't worry about the boat of survival or whatever, or whatever people are throwing their money in right now. I'm telling you, I don't remember who it was, told me the other day that there's some person, some lady in this area right here close by who has paid a whole lot of money to have a huge safe room and a bunker built onto her mansion that's already too big for one person. She's unmarried, has no children, and lives alone, and has a mansion of a house, and she lives in it by herself. And she's wanted a bunker and a safe room built onto her house, and has purchased 25 years worth of non-perishable food that she can rehydrate with water, that she also is storing in 50-gallon barrels and has over 550-gallon barrels that are already full of water. I think that's somebody a little bit more worried about the physical part than the spiritual part. Say, oh, how ridiculous. Yeah, Christians get that way. Say, I wouldn't go to those lengths. No, but we go to the lengths that we're capable of going to. Hey, I guarantee you the times that I've walked into Walmart and I've went over to the hunting section and there ain't a gun on the rack and there ain't a shell on the shelf to be found. I bet it ain't just lost people buying them. I ain't saying that you shouldn't protect yourself. That ain't what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. You get too focused on the physical, you'll miss the spiritual. The physical is only going to last you a little while. Spiritual is going to last you for eternity. My job as your pastor is to get you ready for the eternity part, not to help you with the physical part. I can't do anything about the physical part. That's between you and whatever you're trusting in to get you through the physical part. What I'm supposed to do is get you ready for glory, get you ready to stand before Him and give an account of yourself. That's what I'm more worried about. That I am worried about the storm. I'm more worried about the faith. Amen? All right. Thank You, Lord. Thank You again. Lord, it's been so good to be in church. Lord, we couldn't thank You enough for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And Lord, I pray that this message has found a lodging place in our hearts. That, Lord, as we go out into this week, Lord, the storms that may come, we don't know which ones may arise. But Father, we know that there's always going to be storms on the horizon. We ask if You would please just help us in those times to check ourselves spiritually before we start trying to worry about a bunch of things physically. Lord, I'm not belittling the physical things, and Lord, You know my heart. I'm not belittling the physical things. I'm not belittling the preparation for hard times. But Lord, I do want to make sure that we're taking the proper care and attention to our spiritual side of things, because a lot of physical stress and strain can cause a lot of spiritual anguish. And Father, I want to make for sure that the best we can, we prepare ourselves spiritually so that when the physical stuff fails, we can still look into the heart of the Word of God and say, man, I know whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And Lord, we do appreciate it. We thank you that we can cast our care upon you. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you carry us even when we don't have the strength to walk. I'm glad that you're willing to stop and pick us up and carry us until you feel that our strength has returned enough, and then you put us back down and you allow us to follow you again. Father, thank you. Bless these folks tonight. Watch over them as they go to their homes. And Lord, I pray that throughout this week may we be mindful and give us somewhere along the way to give the gospel to somebody. Maybe somebody will get saved. Help us not to miss anything because we're so focused on everything. And Lord, one soul slipped through the cracks because we were paying too much attention to the waves and not enough to the fact that you're still on board. We love you and we thank you and give you the glory. For it's in Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen.